Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. This is Ken Hensley. I'm an old friend of Patrick's filling in for him today on Relevant Radio. The number to call in if you'd like to be on the show is 888-914-9149. Cyrus, did you hear that announcement? Did you listen to it?
Oh, what announcement? What announcement's that?
You know, all I have to say after that is that now I want to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, I was...
How did you say Green Bay where?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
How do you say it?
I think I heard Wisconsin. It is Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
There you go.
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Okay,
right.
Well...
carry on.
Well, I'm from California. No, I was born and raised in California, and I've only been to Wisconsin one time. No, I've been to Green Bay one time. I was speaking out there at a parish once, and I stayed with a wonderful family, and I remember one evening sitting in their living room and watching the TV, and guess what was on?
The Packers?
Yeah, it was football. That's right. It was the Packers.
It doesn't even have to be football season for there to be Packers on TV in Green Bay.
Oh, they just play replays all year long?
All year long.
Well, all I have to say is that now I have another reason for wanting to visit Wisconsin. Wisconsin, is that it? Am I saying it right? Yeah. And a recommendation for those who live in the area. If you visit the shrine, take the cheese head off first before you go in, okay?
That's true. And don't wear it to church.
Don't wear it to church. And I also have a word of a recommendation for Drew Mariani. I was listening to him speaking. And Patrick Madrid, wherever he may be, if he's listening to the show, don't eat too much spaghetti the night before you try to walk 21 miles. Don't eat too much.
You got to carb up.
Yeah, I know the spaghetti will help you, but not if you eat like 7 or 8 plates.
Maybe not. So I'm going to walk with Patrick. I'm not sure how many miles he's going to walk, but I'm going to walk 1 mile more than him.
Oh.
For bragging rights.
Why don't you just walk 1 foot further than him?
Well, I'll do the mile. I'll do the mile.
Okay. You're going to do a mile, huh? Well, you know what? I remember my first 20-mile walk for life. And I was in decent shape, but it's not as though I was running or walking or working out or anything like that. And I was nearly staggering when I came across the line at the end of 20 miles, walking on concrete. And you know, I didn't know the thing about change your socks at mile 14.
And Very important.
I'd love to ask Father Rocky, does it work at mile 15? Is that all right? 14 is the magic number, I take it. All right. Well, listen, let's go back to the phones. The number here is 888-914-9149. Now, I'm getting very excited, I have to admit, because... tomorrow I fly out to the Middle East to lead a pilgrimage trip around the Holy Land. Now, I've been there a number of times myself doing this kind of thing, but I'm still excited to go. And I'm mainly excited for the people that will be going. We have a bus full of people who have never been there, and to see the amazing effect that it's going to have on them to visit the land and walk in the footsteps of our Lord. And so I'm excited about that. Wrapping up doing the Patrick Madrid Show here this morning on Relevant Radio. And I want to deal with a couple of calls. There was one caller who was on the line and then dropped off, but I still want to answer her question. I guess because I was quoting from the early church fathers regarding the Eucharist, and she asked, where do I find this kind of information from the early church fathers? And I want to give a couple of recommendations. This goes out to all of you. Because, yes, it's life-changing, at least it was for me as a Baptist, as an evangelical Protestant. It's life-changing when I began to listen to the voice of Christianity in the post-apostolic period, that is the period after the death of the apostles. in the latter first century, second century, third, and fourth, just listening to them, there's a sense that overcomes you of, you know what, these people were not Baptists. They just weren't. Anyway, here's some great books for you. Of course, you can read the early church fathers straight through, but there's so much information there that I would recommend you use some other texts. Here's one of them, written by Jimmy Akin, apologist at Catholic Answers, called The Fathers Know Best. Jimmy Akin, A-K-I-N, The Fathers Know Best. What it is a compilation of quotations from the early church fathers on topic after topic after topic. It's all topically arranged, so it's very easy to find. I mean, you can look up the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and you can find several pages chronologically set of quotations from the early church fathers that deal with that. Another great book is a book by Mike Aquilina, A-Q-U-I-L-I-N-A, Mike Aquilina, called The Fathers of the Church, An Introduction to the First Christian Teachers. The Fathers of the Church by Mike Aquilina. Then there's another great book. This is by Rod Bennett. Rod, R-O-D, Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. There's actually a couple of books, but there's one called Four Witnesses, The Early Church in Her Own Words, Clement of Rome, Ignatius of Antioch, Justin Martyr, and Irenaeus of Lyon. So those are some books that will get you going, and I really recommend that as Catholics living in a world where there is a lot of anti-Catholicism and numerous attacks made on the Catholic faith, and sad to say, many Protestants don't do this, but there are many Protestant denominations and sects that are very anti-Catholic, and believe me, it is a powerful resource, the early church fathers, where without having to make one argument of your own, you can simply say, listen to what the church said about this topic in the second century, the third, and the fourth, and you can just read, or you can type out these quotations and email them to people. Anyway, it's a fantastic resource. Now, let's go to Arlene, calling from Rhode Island. Arlene, thanks for holding on this long. You're on the Patrick Madrid Show. Good to have you.
Yes, good morning, Ken. I was just calling. Earlier, you shared the story of your grandson, and I'd like to just share a story of my daughter, and it actually has to do with the Blessed Mother. I have a friend whose name is Mary, and when my daughter was like, maybe three, no older than four, Mary called me, and I answered and said, oh, hi, Mary, and my daughter froze, looked at me with, like, astonishment on her face, and it's like, oh, that's the Blessed Mother called you?
That's amazing.
It was just so cute because, you know, we have Our Lady of Champion now, and part of the message there was to teach the children and just to share, like, how that your grandson as well as, you know, my daughter, the Holy Family was part of our family. So it didn't cross her mind that it would be odd that the Blessed Mother would call. I mean, astonishing, yes, but within the realm of possibility. So I just wanted to share that.
That's a wonderful story. Don't you wish you had a video of her face at that moment?
Really. And then, you know, much later in her life, she was 12, you know, which is a long time in between. I became pregnant with my third child. And, you know, she just looked at me and she said, I have always wanted a baby sister. I just don't know what took God the Father so long. Like, she was just like, these were just presence and people in her life, you know, God the Father and the Blessed Mother is like just running off her little tongue. And so just to share that, you know, it does bring a joy to a family.
You know, Arlene, let me share something with you because you reminded me of this. Well, a couple of things. The other day when I was on the Patrick Madrid Show 2 days ago, I was spending some time teaching about how I think of evangelism and how I do evangelism with people who doubt or deny the existence of God. And one of the points I was making was the scriptures teach us that people have a natural knowledge of God within them. Everyone does, because we're created in the image and likeness of God, created to be sons and daughters of God. In a sense, God's very existence and God's nature, the moral law, all these things are kind of etched into our beings naturally. And so I think it is so natural for a child to believe in God. As soon as you say God made this world, there, yes. And I just think it's so natural. Now, when you told this wonderful story about your daughter, your friend Mary calls on the phone and she, her eyes bug out and she says, is that the Virgin Mary calling? It's reminding me. And in fact, this is another story that deals with my grandson, Johnny. When he was very young, he may have been four or five maybe at the time, we were at the baptism of another one of his siblings, a new baby girl or a new baby boy, I don't remember what. But we were standing around, this was a private baptism taking place on a Saturday morning, and we're standing around the baptistry, and the priest was dressed in white, and he's performing the baptism. Well, right in the middle of it, the priest is reading the prayers, he's speaking, the family is gathered around the baptismal font, and Johnny walks up and starts pulling on his robe, begins pulling on his robe and says, excuse me, God. Arlene, are you still there, by the way?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? He's saying, excuse me, God, excuse me. And we just, well, I'm sure we laughed a little bit. It was in the middle of a baptism, but just this realization that this guy thinks this is God, that God is performing the baptism. Anyway, it's things like this. I love little children. I think I never thought about being a grandfather. My mind was just on other things. But I have 11 grandchildren now, all the way from 11 months old up to 16. And I have been renewed in my older, in my golden years, renewed in my love for little children so much. Anyway, Arlene, that was a wonderful story. Do you have anything else you want to add to that?
No, just I'll be praying for you when you're on your pilgrimage, and just if you could say how long is the pilgrimage going to be for?
12 days.
Wow. Well, that is an incredible blessing. I have not been to the Holy Land, but I've been to Rome numerous times, and that, you know, it is funny because that is just like my home planet. You know, go to Rome. And it's so wonderful even to just, you walk around the streets and you're just seeing things that here in America are not as obvious, but it's so nice to be in such an intensely Catholic place. You walk by and there's the Bank of the Holy Spirit. And it's just kind of funny, you know, and just to see so many religious and clergy walking around. It is just, it is a place like no other. So enjoy your pilgrimage, and I will pray for you.
Thank you, and thanks for calling in. By the way, I just wanted to say something. I had never been to Rome until I was about 60, I don't know, 58, 59, 60 years old. 58, I think. I had never been to Rome myself, and I've been a Catholic for many years at the time. And this is kind of a funny story because it includes Patrick Madrid again. Anyway, I was going to Rome and for the first time, and I didn't have much money, so I went online, and I just booked the cheapest thing I could find, okay? The cheapest room possible. And I remember it was 60 euros per night. I mean, this is Rome. This is a major city. You really can't find an inexpensive place to stay. 60 euros per night. Well, I'm on the phone with Patrick Madrid about something. I don't remember what. And I told him. I was all excited. I said, I'm going to Rome. And Patrick said, where are you staying? And I told him where I was staying, and he said, Ken. He goes, unless you want to be murdered, he goes, don't stay there. Apparently, where I had a room in like the worst part of the town. He said, I think the word he used was rolled. He didn't say murdered. He goes, unless you want to be rolled, don't stay there. And I said, well, where should I stay? And Patrick, who had been to Rome a number of times, he said to me, he said, you want to stay with the Brigittine sisters, the sisters of St. Bridget of Sweden. The Brigittine sisters, he said, their convent is in one of the most beautiful areas of Rome. It's within walking distance of St. Peter's and the Vatican. It's at a place called the Piazza Farnese. Very beautiful place. And he said, here's the number. Contact Sister Gertrude. I think it was. And so I did. I emailed Sister Gertrude, and I told her I'm coming to Rome, and I would like to stay at her convent. And she, how much does it cost? She emailed back and she told me, well, it's 120 euros per night. So I emailed her back and I said, well, thank you very much, but I don't think I can afford that. she emails me back and she says, well, how much do you want to pay? And I emailed back and I said, 60 euros per night, half what she had quoted to me. She emails back and she says, okay, you're welcome. Now, I hope I haven't shot down their entire business model by letting the cat out of the bag. But she said, you're welcome. And she allowed me to come for 60 euros per night. And staying at the convent was just beautiful. For one thing, they had mass at 7 a.m. every morning. I would come downstairs, sit in the mass, and when you listen to the Brigittine sisters singing together, it was totally angelic. I mean, it was just beautiful. And so another thing I have to thank Patrick Madrid for. Patrick, if you're out there and you're listening, thanks for the tip. Next time I go back to Rome by myself, or next time I go back to Rome, period, I'm going to stay with the Brigittine sisters again. So there you go. All right. Thank you, Arlene, for your call. And we have a few more calls, but it's about time to take a break. So I'm going to ask Cyrus, can we take our short break now, Cyrus? And when we come back, we'll go to Tom calling in Winneka, California. Thank you, Cyrus. You did it. We'll be back. 888-914-9149. Call in to be on the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Today we'd like to thank Romeo, who is listening in California, for donating his BMW. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
Cyrus, I was just thinking, do you think that you should, I mean, should you think about donating your private Learjet? I mean, Patrick spoke of someone who...
Well, you asked to borrow it to go to the Holy Land, so I can't... It's spoken for right now.
Patrick is talking in that commercial, he's talking about someone who donated their BMW. So, you know, I think that if Patrick were to donate his yacht and you were to donate your Learjet, then, the need might be taken care of. Okay, look.
Yes.
Okay, you let me fly it to Tel Aviv, and then when I get back, you donate it, all right?
All right, that's a deal. Consider it
okay.
Done.
All right, this is Ken Hensley filling in for Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio. The number here to call in is 888-914-9149 if you'd like to be on the show. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, I showed up this morning with a ton of material to teach. But instead, I told this little story about my grandson, Johnny, going in and showing his new basketball to Jesus in the Eucharist, and the phones have been just lit up ever since. So we're going to stay with the phones. Phones come first. Teaching comes later, or comes last. Let's go to Tom calling in. I'll bet it's Winnetka, California. Is that right, Tom?
That is correct, Ken. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. It says here, Tom, it says here that you're from Winnetka, spelled W-E-N-E-C-A. That's not right, is it?
No, Winnetka, yeah. W-I-N-N-E-T-K-A, just like there's also a Winnetka, Illinois, I believe.
Yeah, I know the place. Okay, Tom, well, you're on the radio. What's up?
Last week, while filling in for Patrick Madrid, you talked about Protestant ministers that converted to Catholicism. And you said something to the effect that you thought there would be a lot more, but they're concerned about losing their livelihood, their friends, and possibly their loved ones because of the drastic change that they make. Have you ever heard of a situation where a Protestant minister has converted to Catholicism in secret so as to avoid the friction with his congregation and friends and and loved ones almost like a modern day Nicodemus.
Oh, so you mean actually become Catholic and continued pastoring a Protestant church?
Yes.
No, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that one.
Okay. But
let me speak to it a bit, though, because the men and some women that come to me are obviously in all kinds of unique situations. Some of them, for some of them, conversion is very easy. Some of them are, let's say they're already very high Anglican, and so their way of worship seems almost to be Catholic, right? And their family is used to that, and their friends are used to that. And some of them can even become Catholic and be ordained as Catholic priests, some of them from the Anglican Church. And some may find it a very easy thing to do. And so the whole process is a happy process. No tears, no crying, nothing like that. And then at the other end of the spectrum, I have men who are, let's say that they're pastors in a very fundamentalist form of Protestantism and a very anti-Catholic form. I'm thinking of one gentleman that I've been dealing with for a few years who was in a denomination like that. I'll keep it ambiguous on purpose, but he's in one of the most anti-Catholic denominations as a pastor, and it turns out that his wife is committed in that denomination. Her father was a minister in the denomination. I believe he even had another uncle that was a pastor in this denomination. And here he's been reading and studying in secret and being attracted toward the Catholic faith, and he's in a position where he can't even talk to his wife about it without fighting, without it winding up in tears, without her even saying, maybe if you became Catholic, I would leave you. I'd have to leave you. So he's studying, Tom, in private. He's learning in private. He's praying in private. He's being drawn toward the church in secret, and his wife doesn't even really know the extent of it. So anyway, one day he decides that he needs to really fess up and tell her where he's at. And so he told her, listen, honey, this is something serious. I've been reading. I've been praying for a long time, and I am becoming converted intellectually, spiritually, to Catholicism. Well, she went behind his back to his father and told him. And his father went to the denomination and told them. And within a couple of days, he's being called into the headquarters of the denomination and being told that he's no longer fit for the ministry, and he's thrown out.
Oh, no.
So I have all kinds of situations. Now, the one that comes closest to the question you asked, though, have I ever heard of a Protestant minister convert in secret? I do have one case where this young man, he was an evangelical pastor, and he, again, was living in a situation where all of his contacts, all of his friends, his wife, his wife's father, other people all around were virulently anti-Catholic, fundamentalist, that truly believe, you know, so many stereotypical things are believed about Catholics, as you probably know, but, you know, Catholics think that they're earning their own salvation. It's work salvation. They're lost. Catholics are not saved at all. They don't know Jesus, many, many things. Anyway, he was so frightened by the situation that he actually went out. He resigned his ministry without telling anyone why. He left it vague, like, you know, the Lord is leading me in a new direction. You know, so he resigned his ministry. On the side, he went through RCIA, built a relationship with a local priest, became Catholic, and he was going to Mass, and his wife didn't even know it. And he called me one day. He calls me one day, Tom, and he says, Ken, I need to ask you a question. And I didn't even know this, but he said, I've been lying to my wife. I've been telling her that I'm going to work, and I go to Mass. And he said, is this okay? He said, no, he didn't say, is this okay? I remember now. He said that his conscience was really bothering him. And so I told him, look, by hook or crook, I'll pray for you, but you have to let your wife know what's going on. And so he finally did that. But that's the closest that comes, is someone who had become Catholic, a pastor who had resigned, had become Catholic, was attending Mass, and his own wife didn't know, his extended family, no one knew. And he was even lying to her and saying he was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how bad it is, though, sometimes. That's how bad it is. That's how tough it is sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's good that you were there for him.
Well, yeah, yes, I thank God for that, too. And, Tom, thanks so much for calling in. By the way, you have a great voice for radio. Would you like to be a...
Oh, I'd love to. I'll fill in any time.
What do you do? What do you do?
I'm a dentist.
Okay. All right. Well, a dentist with a great FM radio voice.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show today. This is the Patrick Madrid Show, 888-914-9149. This is Ken Hensley sitting in for the maestro, Patrick Madrid. And let's go to Courtney calling from Maine. Courtney, you're on the show.
Hi, good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Courtney.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so thrilled.
Okay.
So I'm calling because when I heard your story, obviously, about your grandson, which moved me to tears, I thought, how precious is that? And then I'm like, wait a minute, I've got a story, too. So our grandchildren live out in one set lives out in Las Vegas. So when we went out, my husband and I, there was just the older boy, he was five, and our granddaughter was a little over a year old. And my husband was just so taken by her, and he said, oh, my gosh, she's such a beautiful little girl. I'm going to send her some flowers. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I don't think she'll get it, but okay. So then I was thinking, well, what about, you know, Tanner, who was five? And he said, no, I'm just going to, you know, I just want her to know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So I had told my daughter, I said, well, expect, some flowers to arrive. I said, but let me tell you, I am just in agony over Tanner not getting anything. She said, Mom, don't worry about it. You probably won't even notice. Okay, fine. Well, the flowers arrive. She calls me and she said, Tanner walked in and said, oh, look at those pretty flowers. And he said, who are they from? And she said, Grammy and Grandpa. And he goes, look. And he plucked a chocolate bar off the top of the flowers and said, Grandpa Charlie sent me a chocolate bar. I was like, oh, my gosh. So I called my husband because he was traveling for work. I said, honey, the flowers arrived, and thank you for the chocolate bar. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, the chocolate bar that came with the flowers. He goes, that wasn't part of the package.
Oh, no.
So I know, but it may seem insignificant to some, but it totally was not part of the package. And I believe that Jesus heard my pleas and my Grammy heart and said, you know what? I'm going to take care of this little boy. And he did.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It is
chocolate
amazing.
Bar. A chocolate bar being delivered. Oh, well.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Courtney, I don't know what to say. That's quite amazing.
Well, it's Jesus and the chocolate bar. That's what I, one of the many, many, many miracles that he has given me and my family.
Well, so you were excited and thrilled to be on the radio. Do you know there was like 7 million people heard your story? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't know how many people. I doubt if it was 7 million, but it was probably a lot.
Well, that'd be way cool if it was that many. But yeah, I love this show. It actually was the reason I came back to Catholicism, like
really?
So many people say. Yes,
really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I saw a bumper sticker, and I'm a nurse, and I used to go to hospitals to look at patients and do an assessment, and I saw this bumper sticker, and I'm like, what the heck is this about? So I tuned in, and that was that.
Man.
My husband and I came back to the church, yes.
Relevant radio, really?
Yes.
You saw a bumper sticker, and now you and your husband are back in the faith.
Yeah, that was probably, oh my gosh, I don't know, maybe I'm going to say 2013 or
wow.
So. Yeah. Yep.
Well, Cyrus, what do you think of that?
Excellent!
Okay, Courtney, thanks so much for calling in today, and God bless you. Have a great weekend ahead, and call in anytime. Patrick will be happy to speak with you, I'm sure.
Thank you so very much. God bless.
Okay, you too. Wow, a bumper sticker. Relevant Radio. Well, let me take a moment then to promote to you the Relevant Radio app. When I started listening to Relevant Radio, I live in an area where the reception is just no good. You know, there are a lot of phone lines and a lot of phone lines above ground. And you just drive down the streets here and this is static, static, static. So Patrick told me, Ken, get the Relevant Radio app. I put it on my phone. It's a free app for your phone, smartphone. And you can not only listen live with in perfect clarity driving along or wherever you happen to be, but if you miss the show, heaven forbid, cross yourself two or three times, if you miss the show live, you can go back and listen anytime. Within about an hour or so after the show is completed, Cyrus has made podcasts out of each hour and put them up on the website, and you can access them, and you can listen.
Yeah, you can get those at the app or on at relevantradio.com. And also at relevantradio.com, if you click the support tab, that'll open up, and you can request a bumper sticker, and we will be happy to send you a bumper sticker. So if you want to help evangelize and bring people closer to Christ, like our last caller was, she found Relevant Radio and grew stronger in her faith because of it, and that is because of a bumper sticker. You can get your own bumper sticker at relevantradio.com.
Fantastic. Okay, let's go to Susie calling from Anaheim, California. Now that's only a couple of hours away. That's the home of Disneyland, Anaheim, California.
Yeah, so,
Susie, good to have you on the Patrick Madrid Show. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Okay, the reason I'm calling is because I have a friend that would babysit her grandchild around 4 years old, and she would go to church daily. So one of those times she took the 4 year old grandson to go eat at a Chinese, or no, it was like an Asian place, like a Chinatown, if you will.
Right,
and they were
right.
going to eat pho. And she's been there several times. And so anyway, so he's like, Grandma, look, Yosito, meaning God, Jesus. And she's going, Jesus? I've been, you know, sometimes I have like the year of the rabbit or the monkey, whatever. So they'll have those images on the walls or Chinese walls, writing or dragons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the grandma's looking everywhere, you know, where is he seeing Jesus? Where is he seeing God? And then he's like, right here, look. So he points down at the table, right? So what he did was he got some chopsticks, and he put one chopstick horizontal and the other one vertical, and he made a cross. And that's when he was saying, look, God.
And how old was he?
And he was only 4 years old.
4 years old?
Uh-huh.
And
so, you know, obviously... From the grandma taking him to church, you know, it penetrated down to his mind, heart, and soul. So God was, you know, in his mind, even though we stepped into it. Yeah, you know, we had stepped into a Chinese place where there was no images of God. You know, he made his own, cross, like, you know.
Well, you know, this reminds me of, you know, when Father Rocky and Drew Mariani were speaking a little while ago, about an hour ago, and Father Rocky was talking about the importance of teaching your children how to make the sign of the cross. And it's true. That sounds like such a simple, basic thing that it's almost as though you would just skip over that. But when someone learns to make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they're bringing God into their life. You know, whatever they're doing, you're getting ready to eat, you're getting ready to go on a trip, you're getting ready to do something. And so I think this is beautiful because when this child just took the little chopsticks and put them down on the table, one horizontal, as you said, and one vertical. It's like God was brought into her consciousness or his consciousness. Isn't that what happened?
Yes. God bless you. I was trying to wall you and you walled me. Now this is going to stay with me until eternity. Which is just, you know, it's so, because it's his family.
Yeah.
So this
it
is
wonderful.
You just told me then. Oh, thank you. God bless you so very much.
God bless you, Susie. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to a short break now, Cyrus, and when we come back, we have our last session here. And if anyone wants to call in, you still have time. We have some lines open now, 888-914-9149, to be on the Patrick Madrid Show live with Ken Hensley.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. It's all right.
Our sponsor, Christendom College, offers our listeners access to free online classes at getprinciples.com/truth. Acclaimed philosopher Dr. John Cutteback is teaching a class now, Understanding Human Nature, at getprinciples.com/truth.
This is The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Hensley filling in once again for Patrick Madrid on The Patrick Madrid Show. Patrick is well. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just taking a little time off, and I'm sure he'll be back with you shortly. Anyway, I am the director of pastoral care for the Coming Home Network. We are a Catholic apostolate that is dedicated to helping men and women who are on a journey toward the Catholic faith, helping them make the journey home by helping them to understand the truth and beauty of the Catholic faith. Now, we were talking about crossing ourselves a little bit before the break, and I just wanted to comment on that again. Father Rocky had mentioned how important it is to teach your children to cross themselves, how to make the sign of the cross. And I want to go back to early church history quickly and just say this is another subject that the early church fathers and the early church talked about as being important. Here's Tertullian. This is what he had to say about Christians and crossing themselves. I'm quoting now. In all our travels and movements, in all our coming in and going out and putting on our shoes at the bath, at the table, in lighting our candles and lying down and sitting down, whatever employment occupies us, we mark our forehead with the sign of the cross. So at that time, at least what he was familiar with would be making the sign of the cross on your forehead. But isn't that interesting that we're talking about the late 2nd century or early 3rd century, and Tertullian is talking about how Christians cross themselves all the time. In fact, I feel like I'm almost reading a Dr. Seuss book when he says, in our travels, in our coming and going, putting on our shoes at the bath, at the table, you know, sounds like Dr. Seuss. Sitting down, lying down, whatever we are doing, we cross ourselves. But it wasn't just Tertullian. Here's the great Athanasius, the Bishop of Alexandria. He's writing in the 4th century. He talks about it as well. And he says, by the sign of the cross, all magic is stayed, all sorcery confounded, all the idols are abandoned and deserted, all senseless pleasure ceases as the eye of faith looks up from earth to heaven. And that's quite extraordinary when I think about what he said there. He's basically saying that when you begin to cross yourself sincerely in the name of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're bringing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're bringing God into your life at that moment. And that's why he says all idols are abandoned. You know, whatever idol you were, you know, getting ready to serve at that moment or to follow, the idol is abandoned. And he even says all senseless pleasure ceases. You're getting ready to give yourself over to senseless pleasure. You go to cross yourself and you suddenly become sane again. It's as though the Holy Spirit screws your head on straight and you realize who you are again. Here's a quotation from Cyril of Jerusalem. Quote, let us not be ashamed to confess the crucified. Let the cross as our seal be boldly made with our fingers upon our brow and on all occasions over the bread we eat, over the cups we drink, in our comings, in our goings, before sleep, on lying down and rising up, when we are on the way, and when we are still. And then, two more here. Here's the Bishop of Cappadocia, Basil the Great. He taught that the sign of the cross was a tradition that originated with the apostles. Quoting, who taught us, that is, Basil said, he speaks of the apostles, then quote, who taught us to mark with the sign of the cross those who put their hope in the name of the Lord Jesus. One more quotation to shake up our Protestant brothers and sisters who may be listening. This is from Martin Luther in his Catechism of 1529. He instructed fathers to teach their households the following, and I quote, in the morning, when you rise from bed, sign yourself with the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. At night, when you go to bed, sign yourself with the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Now, this moves me really to read these again, because I found myself in an argument just a month or two ago about signing the cross. I was with five or six friends, old friends that are evangelical Protestants, and they were, basically, hey, where does the sign of the cross come in? Where's that taught in the Bible and all that? And I went back and reminded them of these things. I said, you know what? This is something Christians have done from the beginning. It's a beautiful thing to cross yourself and to remind yourself that everything you do, whether you speak, whether you act, whatever you're doing, we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so to cross yourself is to remind yourself of this. And here I was having to make an argument for something this beautiful, a tradition this beautiful, because simply because it's a tradition in the minds of many evangelicals, it's trash. It should be discarded. It should be junked and thrown into the can. Simply because it's a tradition. No matter how beautiful the tradition, no matter how long the tradition, no matter the fact that that it has a deep, deep meaning. And so I think that quotation from Martin Luther is kind of informative and to me kind of moving, because it reminds me that it's not as though when the Reformation occurred and that violent break took place in the 16th century, it's not as though Protestants it's not as though Protestants hadn't been raised Catholic and didn't have beautiful traditions in their lives and didn't throw those out. Many of them were kept. It was only later, it was only over several centuries as the divide between Protestantism and Catholicism hardened that many Protestants, suffering now from theological and ecclesiological amnesia, that is, forgetting their past, not knowing their past, ecclesiologically, meaning in terms of the church, not knowing their past, they forget things and they throw them out. And so many Protestants would never dream of crossing themselves and wouldn't dream of crossing the foreheads of their children or teaching their children to cross themselves, even though it's a wonderful thing. So anyway, I hope that helps you a little bit. Let's go to Karen calling in from Massachusetts. You're on the Patrick Madrid Show, Karen.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call. I know everyone's been calling about little things that have happened to them. And I had a little story when my daughter Mary was about four. I used to take my children to church, and I always sat in the front so they'd have something to look at instead of everybody's backs. We would sit up near the front. And so, of course, being 4 years old, she was a bit wiggly. And I would always say, well, now Jesus is coming, when it was getting near the consecration. I'd say, you have to pay attention. Jesus is going to be here soon. So we did that every week. And then suddenly one week consecration was happening. And of course the church is totally quiet and the priest raises the host and she throws her finger up and points and shouts really loud, Mom, there's Jesus.
And I really was like,
for a second, I was a little mortified, but then I heard everybody else kind of snickering, and I thought, well, I said,
that's wonderful.
I just looked at her, I said, that's right, So I was just glad that she had, she understood. And
she woke everyone up, when you think about it. She woke up.
We didn't need the bells
because I'm sure
she was letting everybody know.
I'm sure there were a number of Catholics who've been to Mass a trillion times who were sitting there and were not even thinking about what was happening. There were some who were doing that. She woke them up.
Yep.
So she pointed and she yelled out, so did you keep going to the front of the church for Mass?
Yes, we did. We continued going on because then she could see Jesus when he came.
And did you talk to her about not shouting out in the middle of Mass?
Yes, I did. But, I thought, well, it wasn't so bad. I did kind of say later, well, now don't shout. You can whisper to me that there's Jesus,
Yeah, right. Interesting?
It was just a nice thing. I just thought it was nice because I was mortified for a second, but then I was like, well, it is Jesus, and we probably should be shouting out, there's Jesus.
Well, one priest that we had, my family, as I've mentioned several times, is quite large now, 11 grandchildren. And my wife and I live 5 minutes away from them, so we all attend Sunday Mass together. It used to take up, we used to take up half a pew, then we took up a whole pew, and now it's about 1.5 pews. But one of the priests there told us not to sit in the front, because he said that, even though our kids were not prophesying like yours and yelling out, "There's Jesus," or anything similar, just the noise that little children make, he said, it's distracting. That he said, I can't concentrate. I can't say my homily. So please sit in the back, which is kind of a bummer, because then you end up sitting in the back quarter of the church and the kids can't even see what's happening. And they just sort of look around and go into their own world, you know? So,
I kind of think it'd be better. I think it's funny when people all sit in the back, because I know their parents are sitting in the back because they don't want to distract. But then all the kids are looking at is somebody's backside all the time, and that's all they have to look at because they can't see what's up in front. So,
right, they don't want to distract. They want to be able to take the baby out if baby starts to cry and not have to walk through the whole church to do it. But you know what? I kind of disagree. I'm not a priest, and so I kind of think that if I were a pastor and a priest, I would want the kids up front, and if they made noise and if they shouted out, you know, "There's Jesus," that would be fine, and I would just have to deal with it. I think I'd like them up front. It would make, you know, if you think about it, the church would resemble a little bit more like an African American Baptist church, you know, where there's a conversation going on constantly. But it's not like I would encourage it. It's not like I would say, "Kids, just shout out whatever you have on your mind." But I would want them to be able to see what was happening. Anyway, Karen, thanks so much for calling in.
Well, thanks for taking my
call. God bless you. Call back anytime.
God bless you. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you. You too. You too. Well, listen, I have an email that I want to take. Since I was saying some things about crossing ourselves a moment ago that some Protestant, some non-Catholic listening might have taken me to be sort of bashing or something. And no, I'm not bashing. I was just simply saying that there's a sad thing that happened with the Protestant Reformation afterward. Number one, all of Europe broke apart, and it led to about 100 years of religious wars, where Catholic countries and Protestant countries are at war with one another. There was a lot that went on that was very bad. There was a lot of looting. You know, this is a famous, in fact, some people have described the Protestant Reformation as a looting operation, and what they mean by that is this. Let's take Martin Luther as an example. Luther is a theologian, a German theologian. He's a professor at the university, at the Catholic University of Wittenberg. He's a teacher. And so he is teaching what he believes to be true. And he's leading, some people are agreeing with him. And so there is a movement, I would call it, there's a theological movement taking place that you could refer to as the Reformation or the Lutheran Reformation. But at the same time, the princes of Germany, the political leaders in Germany that sided with Luther, some of them were quote-unquote true believers, that is, believers in what Luther was teaching, his theology. But there were others who are just thinking to themselves, this is great. We want to break off from our commitment to Rome. We don't want, for instance, to be having to send money over the Alps to Rome every year to support the papacy, to support the Vatican, to support the building of St. Peter's. And so there's a political side to the whole thing as well. And when the Reformation occurs in Germany, the princes, it's not as though the word is spread individual by individual, and it's up to individuals whether they want to become Lutheran or remain Catholic. Whole sections of Germany break off and become dedicated to the Reformation. And in those areas, there's a lot of looting that takes place where Catholic churches are taken over. They're stripped. Catholic monasteries, this occurred a lot in England, where Catholic monasteries were taken over. Basically, a looting operation of the most beautiful buildings in England and many in Germany. They're just taken away, and they become Protestant churches, or they're torn down and used for other means. In fact, I was in Canterbury one time in England, and I was standing outside the Canterbury Cathedral, where Thomas Becket was martyred in, I believe, the 1100s, 11 or 1200s. And the bells were ringing for the Church of England was beginning to celebrate Holy Eucharist. And I was standing out front, and there was a young woman who was greeting people coming into the church. And I said to her, I said, "Didn't this used to be a Catholic cathedral?" And she said something along the lines of, "Yes, I believe it was," or something like that. And if I had been a little bit bolder, I think Patrick would have done this. Patrick would have done this, no doubt. At the time, the thought crossed my mind to say to this young woman, "Well, now that we have a happy relationship between the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church, why don't you give it back? Why hasn't the Anglican Church given this lovely, beautiful ancient cathedral back to its true owners, the Catholic Church?" I thought it. I didn't say it. But anyway, so much of this occurred at the time of the Reformation that I do want to insist in closing, and I have to do this quickly because of the time, that Lutheranism does not teach that Christians don't have to care about obedience to God and don't have to live it. Oh, I wanted to say more about that. I've run out of time. Listen, God bless you all. Thanks so much for tuning in today. This is Ken Hensley filling in for Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio. Patrick will be back soon, I have no doubt. God bless you all.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.